You're listening to Scratching and Thriving, a lifestyle podcast hosted by two dope professionals who are passionate about empowering people to thrive. I'm Dr. A.
And I'm Brandon. And we are two longtime friends who met about 20 years ago during undergraduate studies. And we took two different paths in life. I'm a healthcare executive and lifestyle guru.
And I'm an educator and entrepreneur.
And we are here to bring you the content that will help you thrive.
You're listening to Scratching and Thriving with Brandon and Dr. A with Aaliyah Sheffield.
Hola.
Hey, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
Excelente.
How many feet of snow y'all got?
A lot.
You stop counting.
Yes.
Memphis has gotten about 6 inches and it's still snowing. So, you know, the whole city is paralyzed right now.
I believe it. My cousins in Texas and Louisiana said they got ice and snow, too.
Yeah, Texas got about 8 inches and still snowing there. And they got some tattoos down there.
I bet.
Yeah, because it's like 7 degrees and it hadn't been this cold in 30 years.
I don't know. Growing up in Kansas City, I'm just so used to it being below zero.
See, that everybody ain't grew up like that. Everybody ain't feeling it. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm in Tampa, Florida, and it is 84 degrees with sunshine. And I got so many people cussing me out right now about that.
It's all right. Sitting up there under a palm tree.
I still love them anyway. But, you know, it's so much going on with 2021 and 2020. It's cold in places that ain't never been cold. It's snowing in New Orleans.
People thought 2021, yes, would be like this catapult to better because 2020 was just so bad.
But it seems to be a sequel.
Okay.
I mean, we started with foolishness. So okay,
let me tell you.
I mean, I can't.
It's too much. It's too much. It's too much for people to deal with. And even if you were handling the social distancing and working from home and virtual school well, it's starting to wear even on the strongest people.
Yes, because we're entering a year of social isolation. Mm-hmm. And humans we're not built to be socially isolated. But thankfully, we do have the vaccine on board. Now, the distribution has been a challenge in most places because the demand, the supply versus demand has been ridiculous, the ridiculous ratio. But hopefully, fingers crossed, prayerfully, we will get there.
Mm-hmm. And we need the job market to kind of open back up. Some of that's going to all follow suit once we get this vaccination rolled out a little bit better, but we need to do something about the economic disparity that folks are seeing.
Because people are struggling.
They are.
A lot of these artists have not had been able to pay venues for over a year now. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize they get pennies for every stream that you stream their music, but they make their money when they fill stadiums.
Right.
And they hadn't been able to do that. So a lot of people are really on the struggle bus right now. Mm-hmm. Have you heard Earth is a Ghetto?
I have. Yes.
I had to listen to it twice because the first time I hollered because I was like, oh, this sister got it. Like she hit the nail on the head. And once I got past the chorus and listened to the words, it was very profound.
Mm-hmm. I thought she did a really good job. It's a little bit sarcastic, but true. And the message, I think, resonates with everybody. Yet.
Right.
I like it.
It was a little funny, yet sad, yet
and
true.
She has a host of songs, though, on her like YouTube channel and SoundCloud. She has a lot of songs that are out there. And her style is just so different. It's so different than what we are currently hearing out here. So I hope that she's able to take off with her music and her writing.
Yeah, I agree. So let's talk to her. So ladies and gentlemen, welcome, Aaliyah Sheffield. Well, welcome to Scratching and Thriving. I am Brandon.
And I'm Dr. A.
Hi, and I'm Aaliyah. Nice. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So I listened to your song, The Earth is a Ghetto.
Yeah, Earth is Ghetto, yes.
It was wonderful. Like, I played it a couple times.
Thank you.
Yes. So give us a little bit of background on you personally and professionally.
Background, I've been performing and working in not necessarily music industry, but as a professional musician for over 10 years now, you know, playing piano at piano bars and teaching piano lessons and vocal lessons. Pretty much any way you can make income in music, that's pretty much what I've been doing for the last 10 years.
Awesome. And I read somewhere where you were in at one point the Berklee School of Music.
Yeah, I went there. I always say I did a stint there. And then I got the bill and I was like, well, let me go before they send me another one.
I know that feeling.
No, that's right.
I went for a year and a half and then I realized that even though I was there on a tuition scholarship, I still had to figure out how I was coming up with my living cost, my cost of living. So it just didn't work out for me financially. But I still decided to, you know, keep performing and doing and writing songs and doing as much music as I possibly could.
So you write, you play the piano. What else do you do?
I play the drums badly. I had to learn for a job. I worked at a piano bar and they required us to play drums, bass guitar, and I also play alto saxophone. So throughout the night we had to rotate and one shift I'd be playing drums or one song I'd be playing bass guitar or saxophone or something like that or piano. And that was like 4 or 5 nights a week.
So you're a triple threat.
I wouldn't say that. I really mean it when I say I play drums badly. but you know, when you got to pay the bills, you take the funk.
That's right. Right. That's right. Right.
But you see, you play instruments, you sing, and you write.
Yeah, I play instruments and I sing and I write. I had to figure out something because I can't dance. So I got 2 left feet, so my hands don't know where to go. So.
So, I saw you started in North Carolina at the piano bar. So, where are you now?
I didn't start there, but that was my last job before this whole parallelogram happened. Okay.
Parallelogram.
Before that happened, I was working at a piano bar in North Carolina for 3 years, but I actually started music and performing when I was living in New Jersey, maybe 10 years ago, and I was in New Jersey Performing Arts programs for like singing for their summer program and stuff like that. And I started performing in New Jersey after I left college.
So what inspired you to write this song, Earth is Ghetto?
Just the chaos of Earth and just being really depressed in general. At the time I wrote the song, I was pretty depressed, and usually when I'm depressed, I handle it by being sarcastic or writing music and just putting everything into a song. And then I was just thinking about, I happened to be at a corner store down the street from where I was living at the time, and actually in Mexico. But I was living on 15th Street, and I was at the corner store on 15th Street. And I was just thinking about everything going on and looking at the news while I'm waiting for them to you can't go in the corner store at all. There's bars on the windows because of the whole Panasonic, and you just can't go in there, and you're just standing on the corner and you're trying to figure out how to explain to them what you want because I don't speak Spanish. And you're looking at the news and looking at all the crazy things that's on the news while you're on your phone, you know, when you're waiting, you're scrolling. And I just said, this is ghetto. This is ghetto.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, it's so funny because during the pandemic, plus the politics and everything and the climate of everything that was going on, everyone was like, oh, I'm getting my passport together and I'm going to live in another country. You know, everybody was leaving, right?
Yeah.
And it's like you just took it to a whole new level. Like, I'm not going anywhere on earth. I'm just leaving.
I mean, I was keeping quiet on where I was at the time. But the reason why it didn't make this sense to say, oh, because some people are going, no, America's ghetto and that's ghetto. The reason why it didn't make sense to say that, because I tried that. I said, all right, well, I got to go somewhere and packed up and left the country and went to Mexico. Still ghetto.
I was going to ask you, because you were in Jersey, North Carolina, and Mexico. So you just packed up and said, I'm going to Mexico, try something different. I don't speak Spanish, but I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, but I'm getting the hell out of Dodge. Sorry. but then you could be here. You could be in the middle of what people call paradise, and because of things that are going on in that area, or because of what's going on all over the world, that paradise is still the ghetto.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just the whole world.
The lyrics are really dope to the song. I know when I first heard it, I just kept vibing out. And then I first heard it when you sung it a cappella. And then I started to hear all these variations. It's been done in sign language, in Spanish. People TikTok. Play instruments to it. Yeah. So it has really definitely grabbed the attention of a lot of folks. What does that look like for you? What's happening with the song now? What are you working on?
Before it kind of blew up on the internet, I started working with a producer on it, and we had just been, you know, trying to get a version out of it, like literally a couple of days before it blew up, and then we've been working on getting a produced version of it, and then I had another guy on Instagram, he produced a version of it and sent it to me, and that one blew up too, so it's just like, it was crazy, and it's been intense. I'm trying to release the produced version, but I'm also, you know, trying to make sure I do it the right way and not just rush out a project, because it'll be the first song that I've released personally. That's kind of part of the holdup. I'm like, if it's going to be my first song that I'm actually physically releasing on my own, then I need to make sure it sounds good.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, your lyrics are very profound and you use the word ghetto a lot. So have you gotten any pushback using the word ghetto?
I have gotten people saying that they don't necessarily like when people use ghetto like that, or they say, oh, ghetto is fabulous, ghetto is fine, ghetto isn't a bad thing, and all that. I'm not trying to say ghetto is necessarily a bad thing. When I wrote the song, I was talking about the original definition of the song, and it's talking about an area, a particular area, and I think it was slums in like Venice or something like that. When you think of the original definition. And I just always like to say that even though I'm using the term ghetto, even if you think about where I was when I wrote the song, I'm not using it to talk about African Americans or Black people. And ghetto is not a synonym for Black people. That's what I just try to say, or anything Black. So it's just an undesirable place. Mm-hmm. So that's just me saying the whole planet is an undesirable place.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
So overall, what inspires your music, and who are you inspired by musically?
Overall, I like music that tells stories or paints a picture of a time and place or an emotion that you were feeling. Like if you listen to some of my other songs, I like to sit in an emotion that people don't normally like to sit in. Like I have another song that I wrote called I Hope You Go to Hell.
What inspired that song?
Oh, my ex.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
But I use that song as a definite for a reason, because most people, they want to, you know, get beyond that feeling and ignore that. The lyrics of this song, I wish you the best, but honestly, I hope you go to hell. I hope you ain't doing well, and I pray to God you fell. So it's like basically you just sitting in the fact that you want to be petty in that moment, and a lot of people try to get past those ugly moments and try to ignore them. And I like to write about those moments and let it marinate.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's authentically what you're feeling, because you know, when you are going through a breakup and you're experiencing that, sometimes that pettiness, you got to express it some way. And people feel it.
Yeah.
You just don't want to act on it.
Yeah, some people feel it and you don't really want to add on to. But I said, let me write this song, or I'm going to continue feeling this way. I mean, I still feel that way, but I'm going to continue. But it's not as intense as it was when I wrote the song. So I use that as an example to say that I just like to find moments or feelings that people are things that people are going through and write about those moments in great detail.
So you have, well, I've read somewhere you had like over 800 songs written and song. You have a whole catalog.
Yes.
So what should our listeners expect from you in 2021?
Well, I do. I have an album coming out that I had worked on. I had recorded the album 4 years ago. And I like to say I recorded it when Obama was president. So you listen to the album, it has a whole happier sound. But that album I recorded 4 years ago, around 2016, 2017, that will be released at the end of this month. And it's about, I think, 12 songs on that album. I'm not sure. I gotta look back. But it's not it isn't a solo album. It's an album that I did with a band called Sold Out NYC. And so after that, I plan on releasing a solo project, my first solo project. But I'm not sure who with or how I'm releasing it yet. I'm still working on those things.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we like to ask all of our guests, what does success mean to you?
Success to me is probably me being able to pay my rent without stressing about the next month.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily a rent to an extravagant place, just regular old rent and being able to not stress about that every month.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny you say that because, you know, people think success is the Lamborghinis, the Ferraris and all of that. But success can be simply surviving.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people tend to miss when we discuss success. Because right now, especially with the pandemic, artists are struggling.
Yeah.
Because you don't have these venues that you can sell out anymore. Yeah, so, and people don't realize.
Completely shut down. I'm completely, since March 14th, like out of consistent work since March 14th, because it was a piano bar. And you think of other people mm-hmm. that worked in those situations, they're completely out of work. Most people will realize that success isn't just, you know, all of those extravagant things. Success for me is just being able to survive without stress.
So, what recommendations do you have for someone to thrive in 2021, considering all we have going on?
First, I would like to say wear your mask.
Amen.
Yes. Definitely.
They're mine.
That's definitely going to help you strive and thrive. I basically just keep going and do what you have to do, but don't kill yourself for these companies because they got y'all out here and they're not giving you an insurance and none of these things. So don't kill yourself for these companies. If you got to struggle, maybe try struggle doing something that you always wanted to do, but you didn't have time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Try focusing on that. Try doing something that brings you joy and focusing on that as much as you can.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think we've seen a lot of that too. People starting businesses, people kind of living fearlessly, right? Mm-hmm. Like putting their information and their music out, leveraging social media to build a following or sell their products or brand or their knowledge. And, you know, this really has been like one big experiment.
Right.
Yeah, it has.
Because there is no playbook for a pandemic at all.
Yeah, that is,
right.
They didn't leave nothing. They didn't leave no type of instruction.
At all. And it's kind of like, you know, we're all sitting here trying to figure it out. But to your point, invest in yourself.
Yeah.
If you do have to work for one of these big companies, I get it. You got to pay your bills. But at the end of the day, invest in yourself and invest in your talent and your skills and your interests because that's where the real payoff is.
Right. And the side hustle is real.
The side hustle is definitely, definitely real because I would say that was one thing that I did during the pandemic was I said, okay, I'm going to start uploading these videos or full videos because I wasn't doing that before last year.
Awesome.
Well, so, it paid off.
It did for sure.
It's paying off. Don't know what's happening yet, but it's paying off.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Aaliyah, for coming on Scratching and Thriving podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you so
much. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for having me. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Adrian, I think, you know what? I think that we did preach a word to the folks today.
All right.
Good conversation.
Mm-hmm. And we want to hear how you're thriving.
Right.
So let us know. Let us know. What's your definition for success? What does it take for you to thrive? What has been your experience? We want to hear that from you. So share it with us so that we can learn from your experiences and other people, some of our other listeners and thrivers can learn as well.
Right. And look us up on Instagram, Facebook, and send us emails. Because we do want to hear your success stories. And, you know, we also want to hear those things that you may be struggling with, because, you know, we may be young, but we've been through a whole lot of trials and tribulations that we can tell you how to overcome some of these humps. I'm just telling you.